Because I'm the preacher. I'm the one who's supposed to do the preaching, right? All you have to do is just sit there and act like you're interested. That's all you have to do. Just well, yes and no. We've been talking about the church, the local church, the Lord's church, and today I want to talk about this idea of serving each other. Because that's really what the church is about. We've talked about the fact that Jesus said he wanted to build his church. My church, Jesus says, I will build my church. And that means that we need to let him build his church. We need to let him build his church the way he wants it to be built. To do what he wants it to do. This is not some kind of generic template that we can take and turn it into whatever we want, make it whatever we want, do with it whatever we want. That's not what this is. It's the Lord's church. It needs to be not only organized the way the Lord would organize it, but it needs to do what the Lord wants it to do. It's not enough to just have all of the forms filled out properly. It's not enough to just have the right offices with the right names, have the right acts of worship like we've done today. We've done the right acts of worship. It's not enough to have the right name on the sign. Is the church doing what the church is supposed to do? Because in the end, what is the church if it doesn't do what it's supposed to do? We talked about the fact that these local congregations, they're in the New Testament. The church in Jerusalem, the church in Corinth, the church in Rome, the church in Philippi. But it's not just about having a franchise. These are local groups of people who are actually functioning, working together. We talked about the fact that Christians in the local congregation actually assemble and they actually worship and actually work and they actually look out for each other because that's what we're here to do. We're here to work. We're here to look out for each other. And that's what we must be doing. Or else are we really the Lord's church? Ephesians 4:11 through 12, we talked about this last week. We talked about all these various functions, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. And each one has a role to play, a job to do, a function to perform. And they're all vital. And as I said, the apostles and the prophets, they continue to do their work. They're doing their work even now. If you read these words and you understand them, that's because the apostles and prophets have done their job and are doing their job, teaching us, guiding us. But also the pastors, who are the elders, they're here doing their job. And I'm the evangelist, the preacher, I'm doing my job. And the teachers do their job. And all of those people doing their jobs are to do their jobs for all of us. And that's the point for the equipping of the saints. These guys equip the saints. And as I pointed out last week, why do you need equipping? Equipping? What if you walked into the barber shop? And the barber said, "Oh, I'm glad you're here. The scissors are over there. The clippers are there. The comb is there. You can sit in this chair. Have at it." "Oh, what are you talking about? I came here for you to cut my hair." No, I'm going to give you the tools. You're going to cut your own hair." Well, that would be a sight to behold. But that's the problem, you see. We think of the church like going into a restaurant. You say, "I want that, I want that, I want that." serve me. Or you go to the doctor and you say, I got this problem. Fix it. Fix my problem. Well, the church isn't that way. The church is more like work. You go to work, and they say, okay, here's your computer, here's your desk, here's the tools you need. Go to work. You don't believe me? Well, what do you think that's saying? These guys are to equip the saints for the work service. Now, wait a second. Preacher, you do the work. Elders, you take care of everything. The deacons, yeah, they do all the work. And the teachers, they prepare the Bible lessons and they give the lessons and they're doing all the work. Well, that's not what this verse says. Yes, there are shepherds and there are preachers and deacons and teachers and all the rest. But their function is to equip the saints for the work of service. And that is the reality. That's the point at which we so very often reach the end of our tether in reproducing the church of Christ. My church, the Lord says. The one He wants to establish. We've got the apostles and prophets. Here they are. Check. We've got the elders. Check. We've got the preacher. Check. We've got the deacon. Check. We got the teacher. Check. We're done. No, you ain't done. Where are these people? Where are the people who are doing the work of service? Because when the saints get equipped and they do the work of service, this is what happens. And this is the part, it's just way too easy to sit back and say, I'm ordering off the menu, I'm going to sit here and let you bring me the food. I've come in here to get my hair cut, I'm going to sit in this chair, I'm not going to move a muscle, I'm going to let you cut my hair. I've come in here to get treated, you're the doctor, you're the nurse. Do what you got to do. Fix me. Make me right. That's not the model. This is the model. This is the model. Now, members, saints, brethren, they've obeyed the gospel. They've joined the congregation. They're recognized as being members. They serve each other. That's the model. And singing and praying and studying and sharing and worshiping. And we get a kind of a hint of that in the worship assembly because we all understand, I need to sing, everybody needs to sing. I need to take the Lord's Supper, everybody needs to take the Lord's Supper. I need to pray, we're all praying together. Sure, we have a leader, someone who's leading in prayer, but I'm praying too, right? And hopefully, when I'm doing my work, preaching the Word of God, you're doing your work. Listening and taking it in and thinking about it and meditating on it. Because if you don't do your work, then what I'm doing here is pointless. But in doing these things, we become responsible for one another. And that's what I want to talk about for a few moments more this morning. I want to look at this passage again in Romans chapter 12. In Romans 12, Paul once again uses the figure of the body. And the body has lots of different parts. You got your fingers and your hands and your arms. And you got your feet and your toes. You cut off a toe, you have a problem. You have a balance problem, especially the big toe. If you don't have those feet down there at the bottom of your legs, your legs don't work nearly as well without the feet. You got to have the feet. But then the feet without the legs, they're not very useful. And so you have to have the legs and all of the various parts and the organs and everything working together and every part doing its part for the good of the whole. And that's the analogy, and it's perfectly clear analogy. We all understand that. Here's the application. What part are you in the body, and are you doing your part? That's the application. Just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now, we have many members, but one body. And it's true, we don't, you know, I don't do necessarily what you do, and you don't do what I do, but we all are supposed to do something. There are no vestigial organs in the church. The parts that just don't do anything. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Many members, many functions, but function, yes. So what's your function? So that's the thing you need to ask yourself. You know, I'm not here to be served. Well, I am in a way. We're all here to be served. But in serving and being served, we are to prepare ourselves to serve. We have function. And something that does not perform its function is malfunctioning. Right? So what's your function? We who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. I'm responsible for you. You're responsible for me. We're working here together in the Lord's church to perform our various functions to serve each other. Verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, and we do, I can't do everything you can do. You can't do everything that I do. You say, well, I don't think I could be a preacher. Well, it didn't stop me. but I can understand. I can understand. You say, well, I can't do that. All right. Well, what can you do? See? We have gifts that differ. All right. Different talents, different abilities, different skill sets. And the reality of that is that a lot of times you can do more than you think you can do, and you can do things that you never thought you could do. And you just have to try. You have to think about what it is in this congregation that I can do and what I can step up to. And maybe you can try this a little bit and that doesn't work, and you try this a little bit. But you've got to find out what your gift is. And I don't know how you find out what your gift is until you try to do something. They put me out on the ball field. And they said, okay, hit this ball. I said, no, that ain't it. all right, catch this. No, that is not your talent, young Doug. all right. Okay, sit on that bench over there. I was excellent at that. I was the best in the world sitting on the bench. But I'm sorry, you can't do that here. Can't just sit on the bench. Find out what your gift is. Let each exercise them accordingly. And you are in that word right there. That's you. Each. You're in each. Exercise. That's a work word. That's an activity word. Each exercise them, your gifts, accordingly. Now, I left out the if prophecy in your prophesying. If you have the gift of prophecy, you might want to mention that to one of the elders, and you can have a conversation about that. At the time that Paul wrote this, there were prophets in the church, and they should use their gift of prophecy, but don't have them now. If you think otherwise, well, let's have a conversation about that. But let's go on and talk about things we all know we've got. And this is the first one. If servants in his serving. Well, that's a pretty generic word. But you know, service is a pretty generic thing. What is... People... sometimes would ask, when I was in charge of marketing at the company I worked for, they would say, well, what do you guys do? And I would always have the same stupid joke. I would say, what do you need? We're here to solve your problems. What's your problem? How can we help you solve your problem? That's really what business is. Business is solving people's problems for them. You know what the business of the church is? It's work and service. of a spiritual nature. It's trying to save people's souls. And saving people's souls involves a lot of different things. And people have different needs in the church. And the church has different things it needs to do. And if you want to start thinking about that, that's a healthy attitude. What does this church need? And it's so easy to sit back and say, you know, this church doesn't have this. They don't do this well enough, or they don't do this enough. Well, you know what? In the real world, we call that opportunity. That is an opportunity. You say, if this church needs to be doing more of X, Y, and Z, then why are you looking around to other people to do that? See? That's what you got to think about. If you have the ability to perceive and say, I think here's a deficiency, that's excellent. You have the spiritual insight, you have the concern and the love for the church that drives you to say, here's a deficiency. That's great. Don't just sit there and complain and criticize. Don't do that. That's what good is that? If there's something that you can do, do it. I'm not saying that you need to be some kind of rogue maverick. You know, you talk with the elders, you talk with the deacons, you talk with your brethren, you say, here's something that I think I could do. Is this something that you could think is useful? How can I help? How can I make this happen? Maybe I can't do it all, or maybe I can do part of this. Think about that. If service and is serving, there is something that you can do. You know, used to be that you would go up to the gas station and you would park your car, you would just sit there and some attendant would come out. This really happened in the real world. People would come out and pump your gas for you. And lo and behold, we all found out that we could do that for ourselves. We found that out. Isn't that amazing the way that works? If you go to New Jersey, they won't let you even pump your own gas anymore. I think that's still a thing. People crazy in New Jersey. Anyway, if service and is serving, he who teaches and is teaching. Well, not everybody can teach. At least not in a formal way, maybe. And James says, let not many of you be teachers. And so in a formal way, in a formal setting, a class setting, you need to have some skill set, some ability, and certainly some knowledge. You need to know the scriptures and know them well. And that's true, but I'm not so sure that Paul's just talking about in a formal setting. All of us can teach to some degree. Some of us more, some of us less. But there's something that you know that somebody else doesn't know, and whatever that is, you can teach it. But if you have abilities and a skill set in that regard, or if you have the ability to develop them because you don't start out being a great teacher, but you can be a better teacher. And if you have that skill set and that ability, or if you have that inclination and you develop it, do it. We need teachers. We always need teachers in the Bible classes for the children. We need teachers. We need people who are willing to open up their homes and have Bible studies and teach. And if you have any ability or inclination in that regard, do it. That's what Paul's saying here. Verse 8, if it is to encourage, if that's in your wheelhouse, if it is to encourage, then do that. Give encouragement. There isn't a person sitting here who can't do that. Now, it's true that some of us are better at discouraging than encouraging, but that's something we need to improve on, isn't it? We need to be less discouraging and more encouraging. There's not anybody here who can't be an encourager. my wife heard something and shared it with me, and I thought I'd share it with you. It's about somebody who wrote something that said, I love God. I love God. But some of His children get on my last nerve. Well, we shouldn't be the people who get on each other's nerves. But we are sometimes. We do. Sometimes I may even get on your nerve, although that's probably more your fault. But anyway, encourage means, if you look up the word, it means to send for, to summon, to invite, to entreat, to beg, to exhort, to admonish, to comfort, to encourage, to console. Literally what it means is you beckon to someone and you say, come here. And you get with them and then you put your arm around them and you say something that lifts their spirits, that gives them more courage. That's literally what it means to encourage. To embolden them, to strengthen them. And you say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Well, that's good that you have a reluctance to say something, because sometimes we just run at the mouth and we just say things that are not encouraging, that are in fact discouraging. So you need to, that reluctance is good. The reluctance to say, I don't know what to say, that's good, but that you don't let that stop you. You don't say, I don't know what to say, so I'm going to say nothing. How is that a solution? So what you do is you think, okay, what if I was in this situation and this was happening to me, what would I want to hear? And then you say that. And some percentage of times out of 100, it's going to be the wrong thing. Trust me, I know. I have on many occasions said the wrong thing. But by God's grace, on many others, I've said the right thing. We have to do this. It is why we are here. If we can't even do this one little thing to get out of our little envelope and reach out to somebody and encourage them a little bit, I don't know why we're here. If it is giving, then give generously. And again, you know, we so often make excuses and say, well, I just don't have much. Well, nobody says you do. And nobody says that you need to give what you don't have. But to the degree that you have something to give, you should give. Because this generously, you know, we always think generously means a lot in terms of volume or numbers, but it doesn't. If you look at the original word, it literally means without folds. So that seems odd, doesn't it? Give without folds. The metaphor is something that's complicated, something that's got lots of folds and layers in it. And the statement is just give. Don't make it complicated. Don't make it some big fuss or big to-do or make it so that, you know, you have motives or you know, or maybe you're making it weird or odd. Don't just do it. Just give with your heart moves you to give. Give. Don't make it complicated. Just do it. That's the idea. With simplicity, sincerity, purity, and graciousness. You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to, you know, say, okay, we have to have this big program or something, and we have to require each person to give a certain amount. Don't complicate it. Just, you see a need, you see someone with a need, and you got a little bit, just do something about it. That's all there is to it. It's not complicated. Give. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And again, you know, we think, well, I'm not a leader, so that's not me. Well, again, you know, sometimes we overcomplicate things. If you look at the word lead or being a leader, it just means someone who stands up. He just stands up. He stands. And the idea is stand out. Not because you're saying, look at me, do what I say, do what I say. It's not, it's someone sees you and says, man, that person has got it going on. And that's the idea. That's the idea. It's a preset character that provides a needed model to positively impact others by example. That's what that means. You stand up, you stand out, and you're not necessarily trying to tell anybody what to do, but you are. by your example. You do the things, you know, you come to church, you worship, you act with kindness and charity and love and devotion, and you're encouraging, and people see that and they say, I want to be more like that person. And we've had some people like that in this congregation, and we've got some right, some really stand up people. What's keeping you from being one of those people? I don't know. It's not, you don't have to be appointed. You don't have to have somebody come along and say, okay, you need to meet these criteria to be a stand-up person. That's not it. You just start doing the things you need to do. And you know what you become? You become a leader. The internet calls them influencers. Influencers. And from my experience, influencers on the internet are bad influence. They're not influencing people for the good. But you can be an influence in this congregation for the good, and that's what you should do. And finally, if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Show mercy. You will, and you will continue to have opportunities in the church to show mercy. You should do it. And you should do it cheerfully. And that word cheerfully means cheerful readiness, a quickness, the attitude that's ready to respond from a willing spirit. It's not a reluctant forgiveness. It's not a, all right, I guess I'll forgive you, but you better keep yourself in line, buddy. You know, I'm watching you. Or, all right, I'll say I forgive you, but I'm still got that, man, I still got that thing in my head. I just, don't be that way. You forgive. And let me tell you something, we need in the church to show that kind of readiness to forgive. We need to do that. Forgive me, I lost my microphone. We need to do that because it's what makes the church work. And so very often the fact that brethren in the church don't do that is what breaks churches down. We need to be that person to show mercy with readiness. So, in conclusion, brother, the church is the body of Christ. But the body of Christ has members, arms and legs, body parts, and that's us. It's us. It's a body of saved people. And again, we think about the church as being something I want to be in because I want to be saved. And so we think of it like, okay, I'm going to get on this bus, and the bus is going to take me where I need to go. Or I'm going to get on this plane, and the pilot's going to take me where I want to go. Or so I just need to be inside this body so I get to where I want to go, which is to heaven. But it's not. That's not what it is. It's a body. And a body works. To be saved means to be saved to something. And that to something is this life of mercy and generosity and service and love and devotion. That's what it means to be saved, to be that person. So we as members of the body exist to serve. That's why the body exists. I mean, if it weren't for that, then you know you get saved, and man, you're over with. You're done. You're baked. You're cooked right to heaven. No, that's not the way it works. We are in this world, in this, and think about this local group of people whose function is to do these marvelous things. Doesn't the world need that? Of course it does. And you know what? You're part of it. If you're a member of this church, but without that service, you know, really, what are we? What are we? So find your function in the body. Do your function. That's my sermon. If you're not a Christian, the things that I've said today may seem daunting. They may seem a little scary. You might be off-put by them. You say, well, I didn't come here to get a job. And I know that can be a little disconcerting. But it's the most wonderful, beautiful thing that there is. It's really what heaven is. Heaven is a place we go to serve, to love, and to be devoted to others. And I don't know exactly how or in what capacity, but that's what it is. And it starts even now. It starts now in the Lord's church, His church, doing what He wants you to do in that church. And if you feel drawn by the gospel message of Jesus Christ, His sacrifice for you, His service for you, and you want to be part of that, declare your faith in Jesus, turn away from sin, be baptized, become part of the body of Jesus Christ, and work with us, and we'll work with you. If you want to do that today, come forward and say that you will as we sing this song.